Meanwhile, somewhere in outer space.
Full telegraph stable at this time.
Yes, Ensign Elm. I will be taking a weekend furlough down to the... I'm going to the intergalactic... I'm going to the intergalactic glass. Wait a minute. What is this? I better tell the captain. Captain! I'm getting some strange readings on my vanilloscope. Maybe you should take a listen.
Leave me alone! I'm busy hooking up the world to my latest creation, the Endorphin Machine. The only one of its kind!
I don't know, Captain. You'd better come check this
out. I have all the best minds in Europe, and soon I will have all the minds of the world!
It appears to be getting louder and closer. Oh my god, it's them!
What up, motherfuckers?
Stay calm and no one will be hurt.
What's up, man?
What are you saying? Get out of the way! Hey, come here, you! Get your ass on the floor!
Get your hands out of your pants!
Get your hands out of your pants right now! Get him out of here! Come here! Get on the floor! I'm with your ass! Get on here now! Hey, what? Hey, I'm
leaving it alone!
What's this, pal?
Come here!
God damn it!
I've had enough!
I think we got control now.
You will be moved when the FBG comes to take the chunk of your ass.
The necessary quintumvirate of Prince, Proudhon, Nicola, Alice, and Paul. Part 13, Claims Bigger Than States. As we read the thoughts of Jesus as transmitted through Paul, we should recall that as he records them, the moral code of rule, if it's possible to use such a term for what moves it, has been in theory systematized, certainly documented and rationalized, and more or less consciously operationalized, now for over 300 years in the work of Plato, who lived from 429 to 347 BC, and that Paul can be viewed as the antidote to Plato's relativist might makes right, utterly utilitarian and cynical political playbook, which has been used to justify whatever crime statesmen feel compelled to commit, according to their ultimate good, the power of the state, which is their imperative to win, to prove themselves entitled to be rulers, i.e., to prove themselves supreme. Paul has an opposite mission, and I want to think more about that. To juxtapose, you know, that objection of Woods from that article in the New Yorker that Jesus is asking us to be nothing, I disagree with. But he is opposed to the notion of the rulers being supreme. So let's think more about that. Paul has an opposite mission. Let go of willing to impose. Become the peace. Quote from Paul, glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons, favorites, preference shown with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, doest thou steal? For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Unquote from Paul from the chapter Romans. Paul uses the practice of circumcision to illustrate the distinctions false or true, illusory or real, empty of thought, that is, by outward sign only, versus derived from deep reflection, thought through, and so full of meaning. He's getting us to think about both truth as an ultimate standard against which we make our conscious choices. This is Jesus's whole deal, and Proudhon's, and Prince's, and of course, Socrates, and suggests implicitly that class is opposed to our nature, to life itself, to truth. Proudhon would argue because it is opposed to the development of our reason, and as such, completely irrational, and I would add, abusive. While Plato tells rulers that it is dangerous to allow the people to think, Paul tells us that it is critical that we use our power of reflection to discover truth. This matter of the essential, the authentic, the original self, as Alice explained, is not about show, but about our potential for continuous growth. And we're going to be thinking about that as we read through Paul's epistles, the degree to which we see that. I'm very curious about that. Our potential for continuous growth through a continuous balancing of our acts against the standard of the truth of love as goal. But Paul's circumcision illustration is also to suggest, through his process of deep reflection on presumed dichotomies or oppositions, how difficult it is to know what anything is. And so we're back to our "what is the perfect will of God?" discussion, merged with an implicit objective of overcoming divisions between us. Now that's a lot of ground to cover. Our Paul is no slouch and makes his Romans chapters 3 to 11 very challenging for me. And because so, a lot to guide us in them in this moment. As we, with he, cannot help but say that every single one of us under class manifests the state, to put his discussion of sin into terms more useful to us. For I don't think it's a stretch to make that sin's new definition. We'll be journeying with him not just because his issues are ours in a general sense, but because we are literally walking in his shoes. His waking up trajectory of self-discovery and subsequent politicization as those who own themselves are disallowed by rule. Following the trajectory of his progress in both developing a model of seeking truth, but key to our current task, also in developing a model for facing the inevitable resistance of the state. In Romans, we see Paul reaching out, explaining why we must not judge others, showing that it is difficult to know what is furthering global freedom, to use my language, and what isn't. What is bringing truth into the light globally? He's reassuring us that truth will out in time and urging us to bend our acts in line with it. He's trying to heal differences, bring us all together. His objective is unification. But we're going to assume the Romans were not moved and go with him to the Corinthians. Quote from Paul, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, and that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are in the house, are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." What to do? Is he not totally for this moment we are living through? And I'll be going more into that and explain his particular resonance for me. We're going to end a little early to get to the juxtapositions we did not play before the show that... we're going to play right now. So grateful for your patience. And I hope you read ahead to the excerpts from the Corinthians, which we'll be turning to next week. Thank you for listening. Stay strong. As always, I love you. Until next week, peace.